Erepes Hashchal Yos B'Shabbos. How are we going to eat the Seuda? The Seuda Shabbos. Now we have an obligation, obviously, to eat at least two Seudas. Friday night a Seuda and Shabbos morning a Seuda. And let's just discuss a theoretical case. Let's assume that you're home. You're home for Shabbos, or you're by your children, and the whole house is spotless. It's squeaky clean. There's not a morsel of chametz to be found anywhere in the home. Wonderful. So Shabbos, you can have a Seuda Shabbos Friday night, Shabbos day, and obviously all of the food you'll be eating, Erev Pesach, and that Shabbos will be kosher lePesach. LeMahadrin min haMahadrin, everything is 100% kosher lePesach. So what's the problem? The problem is that we generally observe the mitzvah, the halacha, that when you eat a seuda must be accompanied by bread. Friday night, you make hamotzi on challah. You have two chalois, or matzois, and you wash, and you make hamotzi lechem in haaretz. And you eat a little bit of bread, eat a little bit, eat a lot. You make the hamotzi. That is the tzura of a Jewish Orthodox home of a seuda Shabbos, Friday night, Shabbos morning. During the weekday, maybe you won't even consider eating bread, but Shabbos, Friday night, you have to have bread. Friday night, you make kiddush, you wash, and you make a hamotzi, and birchas hamotzi exempts all of the other food that you will eat in your meal. But this year, what are you going to eat? What are you going to wash and make the birchas hamotzi upon Friday night and Shabbos morning? So why not use matzah? Use your kosher lePesach shatzer matzah, or the matzah that you get from anywhere, any matzah, machine matzah, whatever matzah you're planning to use for the Seder, take those matzahs and recite HaMotzi Lechem Min HaAretz Friday night and Shabbos morning. The problem is, there is a halacha, there are many issues with doing that. Let me present them, and some of them are more severe than others, and there will be a difference between Friday night and Shabbos morning. Number one, there is a minhag. There's not a halacha. There is a minhag not to eat matzah the entire Chodesh Nisan. It's a minhag. It's not a halacha. Starting with Chodesh Nisan, don't eat matzah. Why not? Because you want the matzah you will eat at the Seder should be b'teavon, should be with an appetite, should be something different. And the only way to have that unique flavor of eating the matzah is if you desist eating matzah for a significant period of time, starting with Chodesh Nisan. This is a time-honored minhag by many people in Klal Yisrael. It's a minhag. This is not a halacha. It doesn't say this is not etched in stone, but this is a minhag not to eat matzah. So if I'm going to eat matzah Friday night, take out the regular matzah, eat matzah Friday night, I'm in violation of the time-honored minhag of not eating matzah the entire Chodesh Nisan. And likewise, if I eat matzah Erev Pesach, Shabbos morning, it's also a violation of this custom. That's the first issue. And that issue,
but
you should know, is...
If you eat matzah Friday night, you're not against the Manishtana.
Oh, excellent. The brisker off. Shevachol halelos anu achlim chametzu matzah. Excellent. Okay, we'll cover that in a moment. Very good. Okay, very good. Enochanami. That's what the Briskerov said. The Briskerov actually used that as an argument to say that Friday night there is no issue whatsoever. You can eat even regular shmur matzah. Regular, okay, but let's put that off for one moment. This is the first issue. There is a time-honored, a minute from time immemorial not to eat matzah the entire Chodesh Nisan until the Seder. Eating matzah Friday night, Shabbos morning is a violation of this minhag. By the way, not everyone has this minhag. This minhag is not a strong minhag. It's a minhag by some, but not by others. Okay, but that's number one. Number two, There is a halach in the Gemara. The Gemara says that a person eats matzah erev Pesach. It's ki'ilu, he's boyel arusasa. This is probably the most severe of them all. This is a very severe halacha. Now, what does that mean exactly? It's a very interesting analogy that Chazal made to explain our relationship with matzah, erev Pesach, and the night of the Seder. We know, everyone knows, you go to a chasna, you go to a wedding, anyone who learns Masechet Kedushin knows that marriage, there's a two-step process in marriage. There's the erisin and the nesuin. A man gets engaged, it's literally nothing. I mean, there's a commitment to get married. But in time of Chazal, there was the first part of marriage was the erisin, which means the chasan gives the kala in front of two witnesses, a tabas, kesef, and says to Arad Mekudeshes Libet Tabas, Zu Kedas Moshe V'Yisrael, and he is now legally married. She, the woman, is not allowed to live with anyone by penalty of death. And if she lives with someone, the punishment is even more severe. It's the most severe at that moment in time. She is now legally married to her husband and is not allowed to be with any other man. And she's also not allowed to be with her husband. She is also to the entire world, to the world, and she's forbidden to be alone with her husband because she's only called an arusa. Then, in time of Chazal, a year later, they enter into the second part of marriage called nisuin, where he does an action to take her, his wife, the husband, does an action to take his wife into his home. And this we make seven blessings. The chasan takes the kal into his home and pick up a cup of wine and you make seven blessings. That's called nisuin. In front of witnesses, that's nisuin. Now today, what do? We do both of them together. Package deal. In America, everything is a deal. Everything is a deal. We have a package deal. The chasan, in fact, he really does. He does the second part of marriage first. He takes the kala into the chuppah, or the kala enters. Really, the chasan is supposed to leave the chuppah and walk outside of the chuppah and greet the kala and drag her in, pick her up, and carry her into the chuppah. Ever see that, Mary? Ever see that? You ever go to a wedding where the kala marches down and the chasan, he comes out of the chuppah and he picks her up, like on television. He picks her up and he carries her into the chuppah. He goes into the chuppah, he carries her in, and he puts her down.
Have you ever seen where the shviga carries the chasan in?
Never. That will never ever happen. Never. It's not even happened once in the history of the world.
She has a shotgun under her dress, you know?
But in this case, the kala, the chasan is really supposed to leave the chuppah, greet the kala, and he brings her into the chuppah.
The Sfaradim had the chasan going out to greet the kala.
Not only the Sfaradim, Ashkenazim also, the Bnei Torah who know how to do, they do. I've seen Baruch Hashem many times, yeshivish people do it the right way. I've seen many times. The chasan, he walks out of the chuppah, is outside that those four poles, and he waits for the kala, and the kala, when the kala comes, and he turns around, and he walks in with her. That's the proper way to do it. And people, you should know, people do this. It's not unheard of. It's done by the Bnei Torah. If a good Mesader Kedushin will insist and demand it be done the right way. And then you're under the chuppah. And what does he do under the chuppah? He does the erisin. He gives her the tabas kesef kedushin, and he tells her, "Mekudesh the tabas zub kedas Moshe of Yisrael." That's the erisin, and then they make the seven blessings for the nisuin, and they have a break in between with the reading of the ksuba. So today we do this in one shot, but in time of Chazal it was done in two shots. Time of Chazal was like the vaccine. You come first for the erisin, and you make an appointment for the nisuin. Today, we live in the Chol of Yisrael world. J&J, Chol of Yisrael, you get one shot. One shot does it all. Under the chuppah, you do everything in one shot. Because J&J, Chalav Yisrael, no? Anyone here drink J&J milk? Okay. Now, you know, I see people who don't get my jokes. They don't appreciate my sense of humor. Can't win them all. Now, let's go. Let's.
Worse, they did get it.
They got it. They got it. Okay, they actually did get it. Good line. Machal got a good pun there. Okay, in any event, we have. So here is an incredible analogy to Pesach. Chazal says something incredible. Erev Pesach, Chatzos, day, midday, is the Zman, according to the halacha that we paskin. If you learn the Daf Yomi, you learn recently about Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, who says that you can bring the Per Pesach the entire day, but we don't follow that opinion. We bring the Karm Pesach from after Chatzos. When the moment of bringing the Karban Pesach arrives, it is forbidden to eat chametz. At that moment in time, Chazal compare our relationship with Hashem to be of an arusa, erusin. We are now married. When the clock strikes 12 midday, we're going to change the clock. This Mitzvah Shabbos, I believe, is that correct? This Mitzvah Shabbos? We change the clock. Can anyone confirm that to be true?
Yes.
This Mitzvah Shabbos, we change the clock. So therefore, Chatzos will be approximately 1 o'clock, something like that, 1 o'clock. When the clock strikes approximately 1 o'clock, Erev Pesach, Mazel Tov, you have now been married to Hashem. Klal Yisrael has achieved Erusin. Okay, Erev Pesach, at Chatzos Yoim, 12 midday, when the Zman of bringing the Karban Pesach arrives, we, through the bringing of the Karban Pesach, we are in essence married to Hashem. Not a full marriage with Nisuin, but Erusin, which means we're fully married to Hashem, but just like a Chas and Kala may not be together, the Kala is also to the entire world and is also forbidden to her husband until Nisuin. That's the state that we are in. For the next 6 hours, we are in a state of Erusin. Eating matzah is equivalent to being together with your Kala. So when are we permitted to be together? When we have the second part of marriage, the Nisuin. When do we enter into Hashem's home? When it gets dark at night. Says HaKlechav. So between Erusin, midday, and sunset, we are in a state of Erusin. And when a woman has the first part of marriage, the Erusin, but did not yet have the second part of marriage, they're married. Legally, if the woman commits adultery, she's put to death, but she's also forbidden to be with her husband because the second portion of marriage has not yet been fulfilled. And that's exactly our relationship with Hashem from the time of Erev Pesach, when we bring the Karban Pesach at 12 midday until sunset, when we enter into Yom Tov. We are in the status of an Arusa. And an Arusa is not allowed to be with her husband. And that, the symbolism of not being permitted to be with her husband is we are not permitted to eat matzah. Matzah is called the Nichla Dim Hemnusa, the bread of faith. It represents our intimate relationship with Hashem. That's off limits until the moment of Nisuin. So we're not allowed to eat matzah at that moment in time. And that's very serious. That's the most serious prohibition possible. Now here comes the chiddush. Here comes the very big chiddush, I'll tell you, and this is very relevant. And really, you know, it's very enlightening because we learned this in Daf Yomi yesterday. Now this is not lahalacha in no sense of the word, no shape or form. But there's another opinion in the Gemara that says that the Zman, when we are permitted to bring the Karban Pesach, is Erev Pesach in the morning. You can already bring the Karban Pesach early in the morning. Now, if that would be true, lehalacha, this is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. If that halacha would be true literally, we would actually follow that halacha. That would mean that eating matzah early in the morning, Erev Pesach, would be a violation of having relations with an arusa, being together with an arusa before the nisuin. But lahalacha, we don't follow that. Lahalacha, we follow, we only consider our relationship with Kadosh Baruch Hu to be an arusa after midday. So therefore, what comes out, technically speaking, there's absolutely no prohibition to eat shmura matzah, to eat shmura matzah, Erev Pesach, until Chatzos. Because until Chatzos Yoim, until midday, we have no relationship with Hashem. We're not in the status of an arusa. We're not related to Hashem. So we have matzah, so we eat matzah. The significance of matzah, that it becomes, it represents being intimate with Hashem, is only relevant when we are in the status of an arusa, a symbolic status of an arusa. When does that symbolic status of arusa begin? Chatzos, 12 o'clock, 12 p.m. So until that moment in time, it's irrelevant. However, here's the chiddush. There are opinions. I can't quote you chapter and verse, but there are opinions that wish to extend symbolically this status of being called an arusa in regard to the prohibition of eating matzah, because eating matzah is equivalent to being together with the kala in the period of time of arusa. They want to extend that to the morning, even though technically speaking, we're in any way can't bring the Korban Pesach in the morning. Maybe it's because of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, we want to be respectful to his opinion, that says that you can bring the Korban Pesach in the morning. Or maybe it's because we don't like doing things in the middle. We don't do things halfway. In the calendar, it's all or nothing. Don't confuse people by telling, until this time you can do it, until this time you can't do it. We would like, there are opinions that very much have a desire, right or wrong, to extend this principle of having relations or being together with the arusa in a forbidden manner to the morning of Erev Pesach. And thus, if a person were to eat matzah, real shmura matzah, $35 a pound, hand-baked shmura matzah, 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock in the morning, he is in violation of a terrible avera. Not mamish avera, but it's symbolically, it's a violation of a terrible thing. It's ki'ilu, a chasan was with his kala in between the erisin and the nisun. Now, if that would be correct, right away off the bat, you have to appreciate the violation is only in the morning, not at night. Because at night, there's no one who holds that we are, the night before, Friday night, this year, that we are in a state of being called an arusa. Technically, for real, we become an arusa at midday Shabbos afternoon. Until that time, midday, we're not in arusa, so there would be no prohibition to eat real matzah, as far as this principle is concerned. However, there are many who want to say, no, you know, you should extend the principle of being called an arusa and being forbidden to be intimate with your chosan to the morning as well, symbolically, and eating matzah Friday, Shabbos morning, Erev Pesach, even in the morning, would be a violation of a chosan uzbo al arusasai. But even those opinions will acknowledge that that does not apply to the night before. Because the night before, Friday night this year, is certainly, according to every opinion, we are not in arusa, and there's absolutely no violation of eating shmur matzah, handmade shmur matzah, $35 a pound, there is no violation because we're not in an arusa at that point in time.
Every year, doesn't apply only to
this. That's right. It applies every single year. These principles apply every single year exactly.
The minhag and the principle are two different things.
No, these principles apply every single year. The only difference is every single year, most years, Erev Pesach is not on Shabbos, so no one is washing for a meal. Is washing for a meal Friday night, and no one's washing for a meal the night of Bedikas Chametz, or washing for a bread meal, the night of Bedikas Chametz, or washing for a bread meal in the morning, and even if they do wash for a bread meal, they're eating it in a place where there's no where it's anyway not kosher. They go to Bagel Hall and eat it over there. Okay, eating chametz. We're talking now about eating matzah. Let's take a step back.
There's no choice. What you're saying, there's no choice on Friday to eat.
Well, there is a choice. You can, of course, eat chametz. That would be the ideal thing to do. Is this year to eat chametz Friday night and chametz Shabbos? We'll get to that. Right now, we didn't get to that yet. I just wanted to lay out some of the principles. I want to talk about, forget about eating chametz. That would be the ideal thing to do this year, to Friday night, eating chametz Shabbos morning.
This solution is good every Arab Pesach.
Of course. Of course.
You can't eat chametz, so what are you going to eat?
You can't eat chametz. You can't eat chametz Arab Pesach. Why can't you eat chametz Arab Pesach? Gesunde
Heit. Stop at 10 o'clock. When do you stop? 10 o'clock?
Whatever it is. Whatever this man is.
Okay, so at 11 o'clock you can eat a matzah.
No, okay, 11 o'clock, okay, that's what we're discussing. So that's exactly what we are discussing right now. Let's discuss, you're on a desert island, and the only thing you have available to you on an Erev Pesach is Shemur Matzah.
You live in Borough Park, but you don't have any bread available because you can't eat
it. I said you're on a desert island in Borough Park.
You need to eat either potatoes or matzah.
Right, that's what we're discussing. Make believe for the moment now, you're on a desert island. The only food available to you is shmura matzah. Handmade shmura matzah, $35 a pound. That's the only thing available to you to eat Erev Pesach at night and by day. Are you permitted to eat that shmura matzah? Are you permitted? So on a regular year, so we discussed so far two principles. We discussed a minhag Yisrael. Minhag Yisrael is you don't eat matzah, period, the entire Chodesh Nisan, period. Okay, there's such a minhag. There are people who love matzah. They eat matzah for every Suda, Shabbos, Shalosh Shudas. They like matzah. They wash on matzah. No, nothing wrong with that. But when it comes Chodesh Nisan, no, now you have to have chametz. There's a minhag Yisrael. Now, then we discuss another principle. Forget about the minhag. Let's say I've never heard of that minhag. That's not my minhag. In my family, we never heard of this minhag. We eat matzah, we do whatever we want. Okay, gesunde Heit, you don't have that minhag. There's another issue. There's an issue in the Gemara. The Gemara says, a person who eats matzah, Erev Pesach, it's ki'ilu, it's as if he had relations with his arusa. Two parts to marriage, erisin and nesuin. Erisin, and when a person that only had the first part of marriage, he's forbidden to be with his kala. Forbidden. He needs to have the second part of marriage called nisuin. Under the chuppah, they have two cups of wine. There's a cup of wine for the erisin, and there's a separate cup of wine for the nisuin. And in between the erisin and the nisuin, they read the ksuba. They take a break. Some places there's a rabbi gives a speech. There's a break. And there are different blessings. For the erisin, there's a blessing of Baruch Yagofen and a blessing of Asher Osalanu Asarusais. And for the Nisuin, there are seven blessings, which include the Baruch Yagofen. Two separate parts to marriage. Completely separate parts to marriage. Likewise, Erev Pesach, we become an Arusa to Hashem at midday. And when the sun sets, we become a Nisua to Hashem. In between the erisin and the nesuin, we are not allowed to be with Hashem. That is symbolized, we're not allowed to have the intimate relationship with Hashem, and that is symbolized with the prohibition of eating the matzah. So even if you never heard of this minog of not eating matzah, Chodesh Nisan, there's a problem with you eating matzah, Erev Pesach. Because eating matzah, Erev Pesach, is a violation of being boyel al arusasai. Now, we have to step back and clarify that point. That point technically is only true from Chatzos until from 1 o'clock until 7 o'clock. That's the time when we are called in Arusa. But that halacha is not true. There is no violation from 6 o'clock in the morning until 1 o'clock or 7 to 1. There's no such thing. Then you can eat all the matzah you want. Eating all the matzah you want, you are not in violation of boil al arusas, boil es arusas. And certainly you're not in violation of eating shmur matzah the night before. That halacha only applies when you're in when we are in Arusa. We're not in Arusa technically until midday. Now, so what's the problem? The problem is there are those, these mysterious those, I'm not telling you who they are, chapter, not quoting you chapter and verse, but there are many poskim that want to say, yeah, we know that, we know, we're aware. We're well aware of the technical law of the Gemara that the din of an Arusa only applies chatzos. But we've extended it. We've extended it to the morning. Why? Different reasons. We want to pay homage to Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, who holds that we're taken Arusa in the morning. Or we don't like doing things nishtahin nishtaher. We don't like cutting up the day. It's confusing enough. The whole day, Erev Pesach, we're in Arusa. So don't even think of it. Don't even think of eating matzah 7 o'clock in the morning, because if you're going to eat your matzah 7 o'clock in the morning, it's bo al arusas. And don't confuse me with the facts that it's only true from chatzos. You're right, that's technically true, but we're extending it to the early morning. But you should know something, even we who extend it to the early morning, we're not going to extend it to the night before. So the night before, good for you. You want to eat shmur matzah? You want to eat $35 a pound shmur matzah? Go for it. Good sunta hate. Who's holding you back? Unless you have a minhag not eat matzah chodesh nisan, you got a problem. But if you don't have that minhag and you won't eat the matzah the night before, gusan deit. What's the problem? Go for it. Eat it. In the morning, we want to extend it to the early morning as well. But you know something? Who says we have to follow those opinions? Maybe we can be more lenient and follow the opinions who hold that this din of the Gemara is only from chatzos. Now, if that would be the case, if we're going to take a very, 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 very fair approach to halacha, so far we're good. You know what we're going to do this year, Pesach, so far? We're not going to follow the minhag of not eating matzah chodesh nisan. It's not my minhag. I eat matzah the whole chodesh nisan. As Baruch mentioned, it says in the Haggadah, the Haggadah seems to indicate there's no such minhag. Shebechol halelois anu oichlim chometz umatzah. What does it mean, shebechol halelois? Every single year of every single night of the year. It doesn't say in the Haggadah, shebechol halelois, except for Chodesh Nisan, we eat chometz umatzah. It doesn't say any exceptions in the Haggadah, in the question. Shebechol halelois anu oichlim chometz umatzah. Who says you can't eat matzah in Chodesh Nisan? So let's for a moment, reject the minhag. And let's for a moment accept the fact that the prohibition of eating matzah Erev Pesach because of the rule of Bo Al Arusasai is only from midday and on. So we have a very, very simple solution. What you do is, what time do you daven on Shabbos? 9 o'clock? Maybe daven at 8:30. The rabbi won't speak. You'll come on very soon, quickly, and you sit down to a regular meal, and you know what you're going to make? You're going to wash on shmura matzah. The same matzah you're going to eat at the Seder tonight. The Seder, that's the matzah you're going to eat Friday night, and you're going to eat Shabbos morning, and the only thing is make sure you finish eating your matzah by 1 o'clock. I think we can all handle that. You can eat, by the way, you can eat the rest of the meal. You can eat the whole meal after one. Just make sure you finish eating the matzah, the bread part of the meal, by 1 o'clock. You can daven at 9 o'clock. You can even daven at 9:30.
What about the Shabbos HaGadol drasha?
That's the week before.
Oh, is that a minig halacha?
Okay, that's a different topic. But let's talk about eating the bread, okay? So far we're good. So far we got no problem. So far the solution is so simple. Eat regular shmur matzah in the morning and at night, and you're good. You're not in violation of the... There's no minhag. I never heard of this minhag. And you're not, and you have very good support. The Brisker Rav. You can't do better than that. He said, I never heard of this minhag. It says in Haggadah, Shebechol HaLeilus, I know Echlem, Chametzu Matzah. I eat matzah every single night. Boil Arusa Asai. That doesn't start until we're in Arusa. We're in Arusa when you bring the Karban Pesach at 1 o'clock. We're not in Arusa yet. Eat the Shemura Matzah. Your home is kosher LePesach. There's not a morsel of Chametz. That's right. So eat the Shemura Matzah. Buy another half a pound of matzah for Pesach. Cost you another $15 for the bread for Shabbos morning, Friday night. Okay. So far, so good. But now we have two problems. There are two more problems. Problem number two is the Rambam. The Rambam says you're not allowed to eat matzah the whole day Erev Pesach. Why? To show, I don't know if I've got the exact words, to be mavchin, to show a hevdel, that until now it's not Pesach, and now it's Pesach. You have to show a new din, a naya din. The Rambam says a tremendous chiddush. Erev Pesach, you don't eat matzah, period. In order to demonstrate that until now it's not Pesach, and tonight is a takana derabana. There's not a deraisa. Who made this takana? It's not even clear where the Rambam got this from. To be mavchin between until now it's not Pesach, and now it's Pesach. The mitzvah of...
And the Briskers didn't know this Rambam?
Of course they knew this Rambam. The Briskers don't eat matzah. At the end of the day, no one's eating matzah in the morning. When we all finish with this story, no one is eating shmur matzah for Shabbos morning. No one. Maybe you'll find somebody. I don't think anyone does that. But the Rambam...
What? It's the greatest thing. You can eat shmur matzah in your coffee.
In your coffee? What are you talking in your coffee? Yeah, I mean, gebrux.
You can have a parva coffee, or you can eat a milk at breakfast. You have to keep making kiddush.
You're supposed to have boso. You're supposed to have... Wait. Let's go one step at a time. So, the Rambam says, you're not allowed to eat matzah, Erev Pesach, in the morning, period. Forget about boil arusos. That's not the reason. It's a different hold of an halacha. Havchana. Matzah is the mitzvah of Pesach. That's what it's all about. That's all we have today. We don't have a Karban Pesach. All you got left is the matzah. Everything else is midrabanan. The only mitzvah left in the entire Pesach is matzah. So do your part. Do something to show that tonight is Pesach. And therefore, don't eat matzah the whole day to be mavchin. That's the Rambam. And then there's another halacha, another one which is cited by everyone. I don't even know where it comes from. It's cited almost by everyone. I think it's even the Gemara. It's in the Gemara. It's actually in the Rishonim. In yesterday's daf, in these last few daf, including daf Yomi, Avri Pesachim, is te'ovon, appetite. This is not what the Rambam says. Te'ovon, you should have an appetite for matzah. If you have something too often, then you lose your appetite. It's not a din of havchona to differentiate between today and tomorrow. It's a technique to eat the matzah with an appetite. Why is that important? That's a different story. That's a whole different discussion. Why should you need to have an appetite when you do it? It's because of the chavivas matzah? Or maybe we want to, I'll just tell you very quickly, a person wants to make himself into a slave. Just like we eat lechem or any poor man's bread, the cheftza, the object, is poor man's bread. There's another din Pesach. Make yourself into a beggar. Relive the experience of the Exodus. Avodim hayinu lefaro. A slave is hungry. Make yourself hungry. That's the din of te'avon. You should be hungry. According to the Rambam, you don't have to be hungry. Eat all you want. The nafkamina between the Rambam and the te'avon is, according to the reason of te'avon, eat nothing. Don't eat anything. starve yourself from all foods, especially from matzah. So when you eat the matzah, you should be hungry. According to the Rambam, eat all you want. You can come into the Seder full, just shouldn't be a dachila gasa, but you don't eat the matzah to show havchana. Today is Pesach, yesterday was not Pesach. So now, here is the problem. According to these last two reasons, we're really in trouble. According to these last two reasons of havchana and te'avon, let's for the moment only focus on the morning suda. The night suda is more lenient. But let's for the moment focus on the morning suda. You can't eat matzah because you have to be in a state of te'avon in the evening. And you also cannot eat matzah in order to do havchana to show today is not Pesach, tonight is Pesach. So in total, we've presented four reasons why it's problematic to eat matzah, shmura matzah, for Yesu'uda Shabbos morning.
Even according to the Rambam, you can't eat egg matzah either.
Okay, that's where we're going to come to the Nafkaminas. Right, that's what we're going to come now to the Nafkaminas. That everything
he holds, you can be yoyt for the mitzvah with matzah shira.
Oh, so we're going to come now. So we can be selective in the Rambam. What part Rambam we hold it, what we don't hold it. Okay, we'll come to that in a moment. But let's go step by step. And let's just focus now on the Suda Friday, the Shabbos morning. We've given in total four reasons that can be a problem for us to eat Shemura Matzah this year, Shabbos morning, for our Suda Shabbos before 1 o'clock. Four problems. Problem number one is there's a minig in Klal Yisrael not to eat Matzah, Chodesh Nisan. Problem number two. There's a principle called eating matzah Erev Pesach is considered a violation of a law, Boyel Arusasai. And even though technically we acknowledge that halacha only applies from Chatzos Ve'elach after midday, but many of the Mefarshim want to extend the principle of Boyel Arusasai to the morning. Number three, the Rambam. The Rambam says Havchana. You have to differentiate between today and yesterday. And therefore, no matzah allowed, period. Reason number four, we want you to eat your shmur matzah tonight, b'te'avon, with an appetite. If you're going to eat it in the morning, you're not going to have that appetite. So potentially, there are four major problems. And it appears that Klal Yisrael, by and large, accepts all four. By and large, Klal Yisrael pretty much accepts, acknowledges 10-4. We acknowledge that we have four issues, four problems to just open up the box of matzah, take out two shmur matzahs, and recite, wash, and have a suda, daven at a regular time. You can daven any time you want to daven, plenty of time to wash and eat the matzah before 1 o'clock. No, we mentioned four issues. You want to peel away? No, you can peel away, fine. You can find a heter for anything. But Klal Yisrael seems to accept these four problems. So what's the solution? Guess what? There is no solution. There really is no solution. Ad kidei kach. One of the, I saw this in the Nitei Gavriel, I can't remember all these esoteric names, these Poiskim Gedoilim, the best solution, he says. So don't eat. Don't just fast. This year, Erev Pesach Shechal Yos B'Shabbos, there is really no solution. So you know what? Don't eat. Don't eat. Just fast. How could you fast on Shabbos? You can fast on Shabbos. Tainus Chaloim. A person has a bad dream. You can fast on Shabbos. Tainus Chaloim. If a person wants to do teshuvah, you could fast. So if eating Erev Pesach Shechal Yos B'Shabbos is problematic, so that's right. So don't eat. Don't eat. Don't eat. Okay, obviously that no one, this shiur would be censored just for saying that. Because no one goes so far to say, because there is no solution, you should just don't eat. Don't make Kiddush and don't eat. Big deal. No one says to do that, even though there are, I can show you, there are people who say to do that. So we got a problem. What are we going to do? So the best thing to do really is to eat chametz. That's the best thing to do. Isn't it the best thing to do? Eat chametz. You clean up your house. Everything is spick and span. There's no morsel of chametz. And you purchase two little bulkalach. You make your calculation of what you need. You buy small little bulkalach for Friday night and for Shabbos day. If you want to have shalashuras also before the zman, you figure out how much bread you need. How much?
Eat them on the porch.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait, I didn't say that yet. Wait a minute. You said them out on the porch? Ooh, hey, who says you go to the porch? Who said anything about the porch? Have chametz. Now, the truth is, that's really the best thing to do, is to have a chametz meal. The problem with that is, it's a practical problem. It's not a halachic problem. It's a practical problem. If everything in your home is kosher l'Pesach, and chametz is a dover chomer ad me'oid. There is a chiv kores for eating chametz. Chametz is osur b'mashu. Chametz is not, you don't play around with chametz. Chametz is not, it's not kashrus. It's not like, you know, it's not like going to a dinner in the Hilton where what's really going on in the kitchen? Is the food really kosher? You go to a fancy restaurant, what's really going on here in this restaurant? Listen, the whole year round, non-kosher is only forbidden if you have a shear. If you have a mashahu, it's not, the world doesn't come to an end. There's bittel, and there is roiv, and there's bittel b'shishim. The whole year round, there are solutions. But now when it comes to Pesach, Pesach chometz is something which is very, very sensitive. It's kores. Zechiv kores in chametz, and chametz is unique in all of the isurim where it's osur b'masho. People are not comfortable putting on the table chametz Friday night and Shabbos morning at their suit. They're not comfortable. They're not comfortable. So what's the solution? So what? Well, let's be careful. I mean, if you're an adult and you can do it, so what would you do? Everything is kosher l'Pesach, so you make Kiddush, and then you come back to the dining room table, and you take out your little bulkalach, and you put that on a nice little mat, you make sure on the table, on your dining room table, and you're just very careful. You make the hamoitzi, and you eat a kezayis, or l'chatchila, a beitza, in Eggsworth, two kezesim, a beitza, and you wipe up all the crumbs. You make sure you guard those the little small amount of bread that you're going to eat like a hawk. You're very, very careful how you eat it. No crumbs. You can do it. It's not impossible to do. It's not really a big deal. It really isn't a big deal. Maybe you don't go put it on the table. You hold it in your hands. You move your chair back, and you're extremely careful how you recite the hamotzi. Eat the chametz. You can do it. It's really not so hard to do.
Like,
and then
you wrap it with the plastic.
You wrap it with your plastic. You can wear gloves. Everyone has gloves now. Everyone has all the different things you can use to be careful. And then if you have anything left over, you go to the toilet, go to the besakise, and you can dispose of any remnants, any crumbs. Be careful not to stuff the toilet. You know, you have to use your seichel. You can do it. It's really not so hard to do. Now, some people will tell you, yeah, easy for you to say, I have 12 children at home. And you go try that with 12 children. Yeah, go try that. It doesn't go so easy when you have 12 little children at home trying to give them, and they all want chametz, give them a little bread. Doesn't work so easy. What about in a hotel? That's a real nightmare. When you have to go serve hundreds of people, are you going to give everyone chametz? Okay, but let's not discuss the complicated. Let's discuss a mature adult, and has children that he can monitor and he can supervise. It's very easy. No, it's not so easy. You know why? There is a halachic issue. There's a major halachic issue with eating chametz. In the time of Chazal, the Feresh Gemara, if you eat a meal, a delicious catered meal, gourmet meal, and at the end of the meal, the waiters walk in and they pick up your table. Everyone sat on their own little table. Siluk, it's called siluk. They remove the table. They take out the table with all, and then they bring in the Viennese table. They roll in the Viennese table with all these pastries and all these delicious things. You know what the halacha is? You have to make a baracha on every food item that they bring you. What are you talking about? I made hamotzi lechem in aretz. Who doesn't know the halacha that when you make a hamotzi lechem in aretz, the birchas hamotzi exempts all of the other foods from a bracha? I made hamotzi. I don't make a bracha anymore on anything. No. This is dessert. This is dessert. You're no longer eating. This is not the main part of the meal. The meal is over. When you made a hamotzi, the hamotzi chazal, when they crafted the halacha, the hamotzi exempts a bracha rishayna on food that's part of the meal. Once you are mistalik from the lechem, from the bread, no more bread. The meal is over. This is the Viennese table. Ooh. Now, the hamotzi does not exempt you from making all of those blessings. You now need to make new blessings. Bracha rishon on all of the foods that they bring forth. You have some ice cream, shahakol. You have some fruit, bar pri eitz. You have something, a potato kugel or a potato dish, hadama. What about if they bring out some cake? Maybe the big shiloh, maybe you need to make a mezonos. Very likely, it's not part of the main meal. A donut, for sure, you need to make a mezonos on. A donut is not possible by kistin. A donut, you need to make a mezonos on. If it's fried, you need to make a mezonos. So what's the problem? Here's the incredible halachic dilemma. If you're going to do what we just said to be the best solution, is to get up early, daven kivos sigin, so you can eat your chametz before the zman iser chametz ends. Okay, if you're eating chametz, remember, if you're eating chametz, you have to finish eating the chametz by the end of the fourth hour. So let's say 9:30, you have to already be finished with the chametz. Okay, so I'll daven early, and I'll have my bread before 9:30. Wait a minute. What are you doing after you finish eating your bread? You dispose of the crumbs in the toilet. You clean your hands. You make sure there's not a morsel. You're super careful. And now, okay, bring in the fish, the salad, the chalent, all the good kosher lePesach food. Bring it in. Wait a minute. If you ate your bread and super duper careful to make sure there are no crumbs and then dispose of all the remnants, and you basically made a statement, I am hereby mistalik from the lechem. No more bread. We're done. We're finished. The bread is curtains. You know why? It's usur. I don't want to even get involved because everything in my home is kosher lePesach. I am now hereby mistalik min halechem. Okay, you want to now eat the fish? Make a shahakol. You want to eat potato kugel? Obviously, it's gebrox, whatever it is. Make a bar pri adama. You want some fruit? Make a bar pri eitz. Make all the new brachas all over again. Oh, really? Really? You're telling me to make brachas? I don't. On a regular Shabbos, I make a hamotzi and I'm done. It doesn't seem right. I'm eating at my dining room table just because I ate the bread and I put the bread and I got rid of the remnant. Really? You're going to tell me in the year 2021 my stopping to eat the bread is equivalent to what it says in the Gemara that at the end of the meal they took away the tables, they were mistalik min halechem, and now when they bring the dessert you have to make new brachas? I'm not eating dessert, I'm eating the main meal. Nishtahin nishtaher. When you are mistalek, when you do this ceremony of making kiddush and washing, eating bread, and you're super duper careful with gloves and a bag, and make no crumbs, then dispose of the crumbs, and then you then sit down to continue the kosher lePesach meal, you're entering into a halachic dilemma to which there is no solution. There is no solution. Is this called siluk? There's a din in the Gemara. If you're eating a meal, in time of the Gemara, everything that they ate was accompanied by bread. Eat chalent, this bread. Eat a little piece of chicken, there's some bread. You eat salad, it's with bread. Everything that they ate was accompanied by bread. If you, in your meal, in time of the Gemara, would make a statement, Ad kan the bread, no more bread, I'm being mistalek min halechem, then from here on in, everything that you eat requires a bracha rishayna. Today, it's unheard of today. Today, you go to a meal, a slice of bread, a little challah, that's it. And then they serve all the courses. Whoever heard of having bread? So today, we're very lenient. Because today, the way we eat is different. Today, it's accepted as a given that you have a meal. You have challah in the beginning, and you have a whole bunch of courses. It's all part of the meal. You don't have to have bread with every little thing that you eat. And then you bench. And many people will even tell you, don't even make a bracha on dessert. We live in a world today where the dessert is the main course. We live in a different world today. Dessert today is part of the meal. People don't consider dessert today to be the meal is over. Dessert is a very complicated thing, if you make a bracha on dessert or not. Everyone has their minhagim. I do, I don't. On this I do, on that I don't. This, gansa maisa, dessert. But the basic rule is that today we live in a different world and everything is part of the meal. Okay, fine. We accept that as a fact. We accept that to be the case. But when you go to an extreme of what you're going to do this year, and you're going to sit down and wash and make kiddush, and then take the bread and make a hamotzi and chametz, and then carefully dispose of all the leftovers, and you're basically making a massive statement, I am done. I am done with bread. No way are we going to have bread here anymore. We're finished, kaput, we're done with this. What greater siluk, what greater application of siluk is there than this in the modern, in our day and age? So now you have to go make a new bracha on everything that you want to continue eating. But on the other hand, you'll say, come on, come on, come on, I'm at the dining room table over here. This is the way we do things. This is America. You know, this is America. We're living post-Trump, the post-Trump era. There's a war in reality. Don't confuse me with the facts. It's a dilemma. What do you do? There's no answer to this. There is no answer. So the solution that we thought is so simple of eating chametz is not so simple. It's not so simple. What would be the best solution? You know what the best solution really is? The best solution really is to eat chametz again right before you bench. That really is the best thing you can possibly do. The best you can possibly do is to wash, to eat chametz, and then to carefully, like a OCD, to make sure there's not a morsel of chametz left on the dining room table. Wash your hands, wash out your mouth, and then and dispose of every, and then have your kosher lePesach Suda Shabbos, and then at the very end of the meal, do it again. Have more bread. Bring out another little bag and move back from the table and carefully eat the bread at the end. So by planning and acknowledging that you're going to eat bread at the end of the meal, there's definitely no siluk. There is no siluk. And therefore, you certainly do not need to get involved in the questions of making brachas for all of the food items in the middle of your meal. This would be the ideal thing to do, is to do it at your dining room table, and I'll tell you why in the dining room table in a moment, and to have bread in the beginning and bread at the end, to avoid the issue of siluk. Now, what would you say now? Now, let me tell you some variations of what people do. Some people are so afraid of you having, your wife would kill you if you would have bring chametz into the dining room. So what do? I'll tell you all the variations, which are problematic. Some more, some less. Like I told you, when the day is over, there really is no, I mean, this solution really appears to be the best. I told you, at your dining room table to do it twice, but it's not very practical for most people. Your nerves also are you're shatter your nerves. And if you have children, forget it, impossible. So what do people do? They eat the bread, they make kiddush, and they go to the porch to have their bread. They make kiddush at the dining room table, and then they go to the porch and they sit down and they have the lechem mishnah. Now, then what do? Then they go back. They go back to the dining room table, and they continue the meal. That's problematic because kiddush has to be made b'makom seuda. This ruins the kinyan of kiddush. Ein kiddush ella b'makom seuda. This meal should take place in the same location where you eat the meal. Now, I know we're very lenient in this matter in our day and age. In many shuls, in shul itself, the rabbi, when davening is over, makes kiddush, and everyone then descends to the catering hall to have food. Oh, but the kiddush is not in the place where the meal is being eaten. It's a problem. And we rely upon leniencies that as long as you have this in mind and the dining room is in the same building, it's in the same building as where the kiddush is being made, it's okay. But if you have to go outside the building to a different facility to have the kiddush, then it's not okay. And if you did not have this in mind, it's not okay. And even if you can have this in mind, la halacha, really, there is a requirement that you should really ideally be able to see where you're going to eat at the time when kiddush is being made. So you can find a solution. You can be lenient. It's no worse than kiddush and shul. You make the kiddush and you have kavana. I'm going to eat the bread in a different location where there's no danger that chametz will intermingle with my meal. You can do it. You can do it, and people do it. People do a lot of things. But it's not a perfect solution. Now, also, you have the same issue of siluk. How do you avoid that? So, go back at the end of the meal and have more chametz. At the end of the meal is over, same issue. Because of have chametz a second time. I have to tell you right away, I know Michal is smirking over here. 90% of the population does not consider siluk to be a problem. I'm telling you extreme chumras over here. Yeah, I'm telling you extreme things.
To the point where,
I'm trying to bring out a point.
My ideal solution would be not to make a motzi at all because of you know.
I told you, you don't have to eat.
My fear of my crumbling hamotzi, is greater at this point than all these other problems that you bring up.
Most people do not consider siluk to be a problem. Don't compare this to the time of the Gemara. Don't confuse me with the facts. You eat your little chametz. You go out, you make kiddush. This is what a lot of people really do. They eat chametz. Those who want to eat chametz. Egg matzah is the best solution for me, at least. I don't know about you, but we'll talk about another time in a moment. But people who want to eat chametz, what do most people really do? They make kiddush. And they go to the porch. They go to the porch, and on the porch or in another section of the home. It has to be though indoors. If you go outside, it's no good. Outdoor porch, you're not yoy to the kiddush. The kiddush cannot work for what's outside the house. You got to be in the house, in the building. If you go out another building, kavana does not work. You have to be in the same building, the same bias. You go to another part of the bias where you're not concerned about crumbs. And you eat the hamotzi, and then you go back to the dining room table, and you finish your kosher lePesach meal. And that's it, once. Only eat chametz once. Most people are not concerned about siluk. most people are not concerned about the kiddush b'makom suda, as long as you're having the suda in your bayis, even though you are in a, you're eating the meal in a different location, a different portion of the bayis, it's okay. Okay, so that's a suda. That's
why not kiddush and motzi on the porch, and then even bench, maybe.
But here's the problem: you have kiddush on the porch, so you bring your becher. That's kosher lePesach with your kosher lePesach wine, and you're mingling it with your chametz. You can do that also. That's like doing it in your dining room. The people, why people do this, because they don't want to bring anything to the location where there's chametz. I have my dining room table, my becher, and my wine and my utensils. I don't want to get confused here. You can do that also. Let's keep everything separate. You make kiddush at your table, go to the corner over there, you sit down there, you make hamotzi, you eat your little bread, you wash your hands, you throw out the leftovers in the toilet, clean, go now back to the dining room table and eat the rest of your kosher lePesach Suda Shabbos and bench, like a mensch. What are you losing? What's the problem? Ein kiddush mokum suda? Come on. Every Shabbos, the rabbi makes kiddush and shul, and we go downstairs for the suda, for the kiddush. Come on, that's not a problem. What do you want to tell me? Siluk? Listen here, I don't know about siluk. There's no din siluk over here. I had my bread, I have my food. No different than when I do every single Shabbos. Don't go tell me about siluk. We're not living in ancient times over here. Don't confuse me with siluk. Shalom al Yisrael. Everything is good. I believe my impression is from 13 years ago, that's what most people who go down the path of eating chametz, that's how they go about doing this. To be brave and eat chametz at your dining room table is a little bit of a challenge. And to go to an extreme to eat chametz twice is certainly even a greater challenge. Most people who want to eat chametz, that's what they do. Everything in the home is kosher lePesach. You get up early because you have to finish eating the chametz before the fourth hour, approximately, I don't know, 9:30, something like that, whatever it is. By 9:30, you have to finish eating the chametz. You don't have to bench by 9:30, and you don't have to finish your meal by 9:30. You only have to finish the chametz by 9:30. So you sit down at the table, you make kiddush, everything is good. You then go wash, you go to a corner of the house, indoors, you sit down on some stools, and you say Hamotzi Lechem in Haaretz. You take your little bread, you eat a little, you chew a little bit, and then you take the leftovers, you go to the Beis Hakisa, you dispose of it, you clean up, make nice, wash your hands, rinse out your mouth, go back to the dining room table, and finish your meal. Okay, that it's not so impossible to do that. And it's okay, it's perfectly fine. I'm telling you extreme chumras just for the purpose of learning, no? Lahagdil Torah Lahadira. We're learning here. I'm telling you what the issues are. Siluk. Go read the books. Over here, half the book over here is on siluk. How do you avoid siluk? And all these tshuvas in the back of the book from all the gedolim. Siluk. Okay, very nice. The bottom line is, I don't see people concerned with siluk here today. I don't see that. You don't see this happening here. People are not concerned about this. And kiddush b'makom suda, people don't seem to be too concerned about that either, because anyway, we do it the whole year round. We're very makel when it comes to eating in a different room than the place where you make kiddush. Now, I have another how about this solution? How about, let's make believe we do take siluk very seriously. Let's make believe we're going to take siluk very seriously. There are two solutions to siluk. I give you one solution: eat chametz at the end of the meal. I'll give you two more solutions, which are problematic, but they're solutions. Why don't, after you make kiddush, you wash and you eat bread very carefully, and then bench, recite Birchas Hamazon. And after you finish benching, then bring out the fish and the herring and the cholent, and all of your gourmet meal, and you'll make a brach on everything they bring out. What's so terrible? I made kiddush, I washed, I ate my chametz, and because there should not be an issue, should I make a brach on the remainder of the food, should I not, because of siluk? We'll bench right now. We'll bench. We'll recite Birchas HaMazon. And then for the remainder of the meal, we'll make individual brachos. What's so terrible? That's not all such a good idea because bracha she'ena tzricha. You're not allowed to make blessings if you don't have to make a blessing. To go bench now in order to solve the problem of siluk opens up another problem. You're really doing, you're forcing yourself to make more blessings that are not necessary, and that's not a good thing. Because now you're going to have to make a whole series of blessings on every single food, and probably you don't even know what bracha to make. You know what bracha to make on sushi? What bracha do you make on sushi? Four brachas, Meir. The real, you have fish, avocado, rice, and cucumbers. You make on the, you take a little bit of rice off, you make a mezonos. You then take out some of the avocado, you make a boy prio eats. And then you take out the cucumbers sliced so thin, only the Japanese can slice a cucumber so thin like that. Such teeny little slivers. You make a wadama. And then you take the fish, don't forget, sushi, it's fish. You eat the fish, you make a shahakal, and you have kalvana. The shahakal should also cover the seaweed that wraps it all together in a nice package. So you made basically four blessings on sushi. Does everyone know how to do that? Not everyone knows how to do that. So if you wash, I don't have the digest of making all these brachas. But if you're going to bench after you recite brachas, after you eat the bread, and now you want to go eat all these foods, potato kugel. What bracha do I make on potato kugel? Oh, what a nightmare. On the one hand, it's a mamish nightmare. You put a matzah meal into the potato kugel? Into the potato kugel? Do you make adama? Do you make adama? Do you make mezoinos? Like Shabbos Kiddush. It's a nightmare. What bracha do you really make on potato kugel? You make adama? We make adama. Really, should make adama? Maybe you should make the mezoinos. Don't they add matzah meal into, don't they add a little bit of matzah meal into the potato kugel? What bracha do you make on cholent? What type of cholent? You know, it's confusing. And then you're going to have to go make a bracha chroina. You have to make bracha she'en etzricha. Okay, that's, what's another solution? This is a very lomish solution, not old solution, some do this. Before you wash, listen to this, this is a very lomish, but it's also a bracha, she'en etzricha. But you can do it in a way where it's okay. This is really a better solution. You go daven kivosikin. Right, you get up nice and early, you get up, I don't know, whatever time you daven, you can daven 6:45, 7 o'clock. You're going to come home, you have until whatever time is this man. Make believe time is 10 o'clock. I have no idea what time this man is, so if it's manachil is, let's say it's 10 o'clock. You look at mom, no rush. Your wife didn't wake up yet, this, that, no rush, whatever. Be very makbid to make kiddush. Make kiddush. Naf kiddush, right? And then eat something before you wash. Eat a shahakol, eat a wadama, and then take a little break, so it shouldn't really be called the bracha she'en etzricha, and then you wash for the bread you're going to eat, the bread. So the bracha you made before you wash for bread, did not have a bracha acharoina. It did not expire. So even if you're going to tell me that when you clean your hands and remove the chametz from the table, and it's now you've triggered the law of siluk, which means removal, the bread has been removed, and you would now require new blessings for all of the foods that you will eat in the eat going ahead. Then you will eat. I already made those brachas. I made those blessings before I washed. I made kiddush, and I ate a shahakol, oich adama. I made those blessings already, and I did not recite for those blessings a borei nefoshos. So if I did not yet recite a bracha acharoina for those blessings, they're still active. So now I wash for bread, for my Suda Shabbos. I do siluk, get rid of the bread, and I continue my meal. Even if you will tell me that I'm not allowed to make a bracha, you'll have a dilemma. Should I make a bracha? Should I not make a bracha? If I do need to make a bracha, I already made the bracha. I made the bracha before I washed. Okay, that's a solution. The other, going back to the other solution I mentioned to you, is that you should bench right away. The Poskim do not like this. They do not like that. I told you the first problem was the bracha shein tzricha, but they don't like it for a more fundamental reason. That's not called the Suda Shabbos. That's a game. It's a game. You wash, you eat bread, and then you recite Birchas HaMazon. Where's your meal? The bread? That wasn't your meal. The meal is the courses, the chalent. The chalent together with the bread. By washing, making Kiddush, washing, and then because you're so concerned about Siluk, you're going to bench. You've terminated your Su'udah Shabbos. It's almost as if you did not eat a Su'udah Shabbos. V'koroso l'shabbos oineg. The din oineg means that your meal should not just be bread. The meal should be a delicious meal. By going now and having all of your courses independently, that's not the way you observe the karoso l'shabbos oineg. Okay, we're out of time. And what is the ultimate solution? The ultimate solution, I mean, it's not the ultimate, we have to probably do this a little more tomorrow, is egg matzah. Why is egg matzah a brilliant solution? Which Rav Moshe Feinstein says you should do. He actually says it's a very good idea and you should do it. He endorses it. And the Chidah did it. The Chidah, we learned the Chidah, don't you? The Chidah, the Sfardim. The truth is, this is one of the differences before the American melting pot came into existence. Before America, this was a divide between Ashkenazim and the Sfaradim. The Sfardim embraced the solution of egg matzah. Matzah shenilash b'mei peros versus the Ashkenazim. The Ashkenazim don't like it. And no one really knows why. There's no real, they just don't do it. It's not tradition. It's hard to put your finger on why not. But the Hasidim don't hold of this. They just don't hold of it. They don't do it. No, the more modern Ashkenazim, like us, we do it. That's what I'm going to do. I have no doubt about it. That's what I'm going to do. That's what we did. My father, Zichron Levracha, did. It was back when we had this in the past.
The table, the whole meal, the egg matzo. You have
egg matzah, like no difference. Now you have to, the only restriction, egg matzah, well, here's the law. Well, here's the problem. A healthy person is not allowed to eat egg matzah on Pesach. Now, egg matzah, by the way, this means kosher lepesach egg matzah. You can't buy egg matzah that does not have a hechsh. It's a very important halacha. You're not allowed to eat on Pesach egg matzah that is not kosher lepesach. Just because you're buying egg matzah, you have to make sure it says on the box kosher lepesach, because they make egg matzah the whole year round that is not kosher lepesach. If the egg matzah is not kosher lepesach, it's chometz. And if it's chometz, you're not allowed to possess it in your home, period. And having it on the table, eating it in the morning, Shabbos morning, before the Zman, is no different than eating chametz. It's going to make all of your kalim treif. It's going to make everything no good. So you have to make sure that you have kosher lepesach. Remember, kosher lepesach egg matzah. What is law of kosher lepesach egg matzah? The law is that a choile or a zokain, a person who's not well, or a zokain, is lichatchila permitted to eat egg matzah on Pesach. No questions asked. You're allowed to eat egg matzah. It's kosher lepesach. What is egg matzah? It is flour. And the only liquid that has been added to the flour is mei peros. Fruit juices, or in the case of egg matzah, eggs. That's it. The liquid that is used to knead the dough is not water. If you add one drop of water, you're done. The combination of water and fruit juices makes it instantly chametz. No, you don't need 18 minutes for it to become chametz. It becomes chametz in a second. If you, it's a lethal compound. A lethal compound to combine water, H2O, with another liquid. Any other liquid other than water, it's lethal. It is instant chametz. Go straight to jail, no questions asked. Don't pass go. Finished. However, if you have flour and you add fruit juices, so generally it's the same thing. You got 18 minutes. You got basically the same timeline, 18 minutes. Just make sure you follow all the rules. 18 minutes. This is called matzah ashira. It's rich because it's not water, it's flavored liquid that has been used to knead the dough. Now, however, a healthy person is not permitted on Pesach to eat matzah ashira because we are concerned for the opinion that holds that adding fruit juice to flour turns the dough into chametz immediately or accelerated time. So, but we don't accept that lahalacha. It's nishtahi nishtaher. Regular matzah is flour and water. You got 18 minutes. If you add water and another juice, then we hold it as chametz in a moment, in a second. But if you add flour and liquids other than water, so the bottom line is you are not permitted to eat this matzah throughout the entire Pesach. You must treat it as if it's chametz, pretty much. But it's not chametz. We don't go to the extreme and view it to be chametz mamish. You're allowed to possess it. You're allowed to have it in the house. You're allowed to have it on your shelf. You do not need to dispose of it. You do not need to sell it to a guy. It's not osur b'mashu. If a couple of crumbs of egg matzah somehow make their way into your food, it's okay. It's only forbidden to eat egg matzah by itself. A shear. You're not allowed to have a shear, a kazayis of egg matzah. But if there's a crumb of egg matzah, it's okay. Sorry. We're not that machmir. We be'etzem hold egg matzah is 100% kosher l'Pesach. There's a chumrah that we don't want to eat egg matzah on Pesach itself because Pesach was so machmir, it's kares, chametz also the mashu, and some hold that egg matzah is chametz. We don't accept that lahalach. It's not chametz. It's kosher l'Pesach. You could have it, you can possess it. Just don't eat it. If there are some crumbs, there's some crumbs, it's okay, it's fine. It's on the shelf, it's fine. Now, is egg matzah fit for the mitzvah de'oraisa of achilas matzah? Can you make a bracha asher kedushot b'mitzvah zivanu al achilas matzah on egg matzah? No, you can't. No way. Lo yotzo yidei choyvasai. L'chol adeis. Well, I shouldn't say l'chol adeis. I shouldn't say the Rambam says you can't be yotze. Take it back. But halacha lemais in Shulchan Aruch. We don't follow the Rambam in this respect. Practically speaking, in the world of halacha, we do not accept that you can fulfill your obligation of eating a matzah. And practically, even though the Rambam says you can, but practically speaking, we don't accept this. You cannot be yotze the mitzvah achilas matzah with egg matzah. So therefore, we're finishing right now, and we'll have maybe do a little more tomorrow. But this appears to be a perfect solution. Egg matzah is like chametz. So when is the last moment you can eat egg matzah? Technically, by the end of the fourth hour. So you got to wake up very early. You have to daven very early, and in order to be able to eat egg matzah. Egg matzah you can put on your dining room table, and you can let the crumbs spill all over the place. You can let the crumbs spill all over the table, on the floor, in your pockets, on your clothing, in the food. It doesn't matter because even if you'll eat some of those crumbs on Pesach, no harm done. No harm done whatsoever. We're not at all machmir on mashu of egg matzah. No one's machmir on a mashu of egg matzah. And you're allowed to have it. You just can't eat it. So if I can't eat egg matzah, I have to finish eating my egg matzah by the end of the fourth hour, which is like by 10 o'clock. Yeah. And I can have it on my dining room table. And Ashkenazim make a hamotzi on egg matzah. when you have an egg matzah, you have two egg matzahs, and you kaveh a suda, what bracha do you make? Hamotzi lechem in aretz. Oh, what are you going to tell me? The four reasons. Four, we started today's shir. There are four reasons why you can't eat matzah Erev Pesach. Number one, the minog. First of all, who says I hold of the minog? Let's put that aside. Number two, it's because of boil arusasa. Excuse me, the din of boil arusasa is only if you eat the type of matzah with which you can be yoytze yidei choyvasai and lel pesach. I cannot be yoytze, I cannot make a bracha asher kedushonu b'mitzvayse v'tzivanu al achilas matzah with egg matzah, matzah ashira. So therefore, no way am I in violation of boil arusasa by eating matzah ashira. That halacha, clear as day, only applies to a type of matzah with which you can be yoytze yidei choyvasai. What do you want to go tell me? Havchana, the Rambam, Havchana. We have to show, tonight is Pesach, today is not Pesach. Egg matzah is good enough. That's Havchana. Tonight I eat shemura matzah, flour and water, and today I eat egg matzah. That's Havchana, good enough. It's not a perfect Havchana. Matzah, you're talking about, it's matzah? Yeah, okay, fine. It's not. There's no perfect solution in this world for anything. It's matzah, but it's good enough. It is a havchana to a significant degree. Tonight is regular matzah, and this is egg matzah. Te'ovoin, appetite? No, it's a problem, but it's not a problem because it's not the same. It's a different taste. It tastes fundamentally different. Egg matzah and shmur matzah have an entirely different taste, and therefore, it's also a fulfillment of te'avoin. So
we're saying Rav Moshe says that
Rav Moshe says, I even wrote down the tshuva. Yes, Rav Moshe says the best thing to do, really, on a very, no problem of siluk, I don't have a problem of bracha shenitzricha, I don't have to go make yourself crazy, run here, run there. Most people's minds are already shattered, have enough problems, what to worry about. You have to go worry about this also. It's a very practical solution. The Sfaradim always did this. From time immemorial, there are records, the Chida, he did this, he held of it. Rav Moshe writes to do it. Many Gedolim did it, especially with a lot of little children and hotels. It's a very simple, practical thing to do. For some reason, the Ashkenazim, they don't like it. They don't like it. They don't like it. They view it to be a violation of all four rules. It's boil out of sasa, you're eating matzah. Bottom line is, you're eating matzah. Matzah is matzah. Don't confuse me with the facts. It's egg matzah, this matzah shmura, te'avoin, havchana. They just don't like the whole idea. Why? I don't know. You know, it's like there are certain things, like you see with Corona. You learn from this last year. Everyone had a very personal approach. Everyone reacted differently. It's an incredible insight, the human condition. The world was presented with a sakana, danger. And every person reacted differently. And some people, they mamash, hid in the basement with plastic on their windows, gloves, and they're still hiding. And some people couldn't care less. They go out into the streets. They couldn't care less. And you tell them you're suicidal, and they say, no, I'm not. Look, I'm still here. we saw that this year. There are certain things that there's no rhyme and reason. Everyone just for some, in their neshama, there's something that cannot be defined, and it causes them to react differently. This eating chum, eating egg matzah, matzah ashira, Erev Pesach, halachically it's sound. It has FDA approval. Matzah Ashira has FDA approval, not emergency approval, the real FDA approval to eat Matzah Ashira. We've checked all the boxes. We've done clinical trials. We've tested generations of animals. It works. It's fit. But yet the Ashkenazim, for some reason, refuse to embrace it. I'm not taking the egg matzah. I don't care. I don't care if I'm eligible or not. Do not inject in me the egg matzah. I'm not looking for generic engineering here, Erev Pesach. I'm not taking it. Why? FDA approval. It's good. It's sound. It works. The Gedolei Yisrael, they all did it. I'm not doing it. Don't challenge me. Ashkenazim are like that. Why? That's a fact. They just don't want to do it. So what do? They eat their chametz. They eat their chametz. They sit there in the corner and eat their chametz. They go to the porch. They eat their chametz. Is it because it's fun? It's an adventure? Maybe. I know a guy who got an electric car. He said to me, they told him all of these, getting crazy. Why are you getting an electric car? You have all of these problems. He says, I know it's an adventure for me. I need to shake myself up a little bit. I want the adventure of doing something different. I know I'm looking for trouble. I need a little excitement in life. I have a feeling that the Ashkenazim who do this, it's because they want adventure, Erev Pesach. They like to go early, get up early. It's a whole show. It's a little adventurous to have your chametz, to do this. You make a whole show out of it. That's what I think it's all about. Maybe not. Maybe there's more to it. To each his own. Okay, so we've discussed most of the issues. Maybe there are a few more issues, a few more things to talk about. Maybe we'll pick it up another time. It's very, very late. I apologize. Have a wonderful day. Take care, everyone. I wonder if Moshe, what he did himself. I don't know what he himself did, but he writes in the truth that it's a good thing to write the word toif. He says it is toiv lasis. It is a good thing to do to do the solution of egg matzah. That's what Moshe says. That's good enough for me. Okay, Rabbi Sai. I can mayor you're on a mute, mayor.
The tshuva was written in
1954.
1954,
wow.
I think onion matzah is even better.
What matzah? Have one day. What matzah? Onion. There's such a thing called onion matzah?
Onion matzah.
But you have to be very careful that it's kosher lePesach egg matzah.
Yeah, it's not kosher.
Egg matzah that doesn't have a hechsher, kosher lePesach is chametz gomor.
Right. Even the Pesach egg matzah that doesn't have a hechsher is chametz.
Of regular matzah, not the hechsher, kosher is chametz gomor. Right. They sell a ton of matzah.
That coconut milk, Geffen coconut milk with a hechsher is not kosher.
Why not?
No, it's not kosher Pesach.
It's not kosher Pesach.
Why? Kidneys?
I don't know. It must have been a mistake in the factory.
There was a mistake. They took away.
Anyway, today's a big yard site. It's not Sitkio, it's Sitkio, not Cheskio. And it's also the yard site of Dr. Aaron Gordon. He was a doctor to the King of Prussia who became a Talmud of the Maggid of Mizrich. Became his personal. He went to the Maggid, and the Maggid said, you heal me physically, and I'll heal you
spiritually. Wow, that's a good line.
Yeah.
So he became a chassid?
Yeah, he became a chassid. He was the rebbe to a lot of, he was the doctor to a lot of rebbes, and a lot of stories about him.
All the great people were doctors. The Rambam was a doctor.
You know, I met a researcher from Bar Ilan. He was an expert on the Baal Shem Tov. He discovered in the archives in Poland the Baal Shem Tov Sefer Refuas. And he also found in the tax rolls that Rabbi Yisrael Baal Shemni is exempt from paying taxes because he's a pharmacist.
Who's a doctor?
Yeah, he used to supply, mixed.
We never heard that before.
Concoctions out of natural stuff.
When? I never heard this before. He was a doctor.
And another thing he said.
Never heard
this. He found that Rabbi Yisrael, the Baal Shem Tov married twice. His first wife died within a year or two after.